Good evening. It's good to see everybody back tonight. We're going to talk about a subject tonight that not a whole lot of people talk about it. And it's not a sermon that's meant to be a saving type sermon, but it's something that we need to be aware of. And it's religious division. I've been in several congregations, and I don't want to name them, but we were in one back in the early 80s that got hit with the Boston Crossroads movement. Probably most of you don't know what that even is because it happened so long ago. But it was a group of people that came across the nation. They would get into a church, and what happened in Lincoln was they tried to get the evening services on Sunday night spread out into individual groups in people's homes. And then they would proceed to twist God's word just a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And what happened to that church? They lost about half of the congregants. We had 12 deacons, half of them were gone. And I'm thankful we had a strong eldership of four men. They had to sweep out the preaching. We had a regular preacher, we had a campus ministry going. That all had to be cleaned out. We got into another church. We had bad eldership put in, unqualified people, and it didn't take very long for that to crumble. When we first came to Vegas, we came in right after a huge split. It's not something that the church likes to talk about, but I think we need to at times. Splits happen, and for any number of reasons. I've heard stories about paint on walls and different pews instead of chairs and kitchens and no kitchens and one cup and multiple cups, all kinds of things that split churches. So Paul, and most of us know and understand this first letter to the church in Corinth, he was not happy. And it did not take him very long to address the major problem. And that's going to be the center of the sermon tonight. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 through 13. But before I get to that, you know, the picture that the world sees of Christianity, they look at it and know there's a lot of religious division. There's division between Catholics and Protestants. There's division between various Protestant denominations. There's division within a church from liberal to conservative factions. And not just the Church of Christ, but any denomination. Between members of the same congregation. And you know, if you talk to people, many people don't take the problem of religious division very seriously. They're content to accept the denominational names and doctrines that divide so many people. Considering such differences are not important to them. They often praise such diversity as commendable. Just go to the church of your choice. It doesn't matter as long as you go to worship. Well, yes, it does. The early church, the problem of religious division was not taken lightly. And we're going to look at two different instances tonight. And as we turn the text to 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're going to start with what is first and foremost the major problem. It's the severity of the problem. This is the first thing I want to talk about. 10 through 13 reads this way. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you perfectly join together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. In verse 13, he poses the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Those are pretty strong words. You can tell by those three or four verses right there, Paul was not pleased about what was going on in Corinth. Verse 10, it prompted the Apostle Paul to beg with them. He says, I plead with you. I beg you. I urge you. I'm pleading with you. And then in verse 10, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's making an appeal to them and an appeal to the authority of Christ. In verse 11, he says, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, there are contentions among you. For the contention, division creates. And then 12 through 13, he asks the question, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. Is Christ divided? Are you baptized in Paul's name? He looks at this as the impression. What do people on the outside think? It makes a difference. We can't have people look at the Church of Christ and say, what are you doing? And it gives the impression that somehow Christ is divided. And he's not. It gives an idea that their allegiance is to some man rather than to Christ. We go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, and he says, further on, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. You can still hear the anger in his voice in these words, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? This division is indicative of carnality, of spiritual immaturity. They're still not able to take in what they need to be taken in. They understand this church in Corinth was established somewhere in the early 50s. This letter came to them somewhere around 60, 61. So they're 10 years in. And Paul's still having to correct them and tell them and show them what's going on here. And by this section, we can see clearly, Paul certainly took the problem of religious division seriously. He was not going to put up with it. Secondly, we're going to go to John 17. We'll take a look at what Jesus has to say. John 17, 20 through 23. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, these days will come when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. So in verse 20, he talks about the kingdom coming. He talks about staying in unity. And he talks about the participation of this kingdom coming between the Father and the Son. And Jesus prays for unity among believers, that the world may believe that you sent me, and that the world may know that you sent me, and have loved as you have loved me. That's Jesus when he talks about unity and division. He wants the unity. He wants the world to believe that he was sent. He wants the world to know that you sent me. He even passed along glory from the Father to make unity possible. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:13-16. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Jesus prayed and died for unity. And he certainly took religious division seriously. To the seriousness, he died to bring unity between Jews and Gentiles. Before he died on the cross, there was not a unity. And we see in first century church that if you want to look at divisions, there was division between the Jew and Gentile. Even after Christ died on the cross, the Jews had a hard time putting in their mind that the Gentiles now could be in a safe position through the blood that was shed. So what did they do? They had contentious things going on. The Judaizers continued to want to break up congregations. It wasn't working. And that's where Paul, and you look at all these letters, has a thread through it: beware of false teaching. That's where contentions arise from. That's where divisions arise from. And if you take a real strong look at division, I think you'll probably find, I'm not going to use the word all because that's an all-inclusive word, but 99% of division is caused because of man's opinion. Somebody thinks they had a better idea than what the Bible has, a better idea than what God has, a better idea of what this passage means than what God meant it to say. That's where we get into problems. Now there's a solution to the problem. We go back to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. And you'll see that Paul says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That's the solution to a problem. If we're all speaking the same thing, then there's no room for anybody's opinion. We're speaking what God wants us to speak. Now, you know, Paul understands and we understand. Sometimes that's easier said than done. But the goal should be to strive for that. Personalities will let us sometimes get into arguments with one another. But we can't let, you know, we can disagree with one another. That's okay, but we should not be disagreeable with one another. There's a huge difference. So as we look at this, we need to speak the same thing. The goal is more likely if we heed the words of Peter. Well, let's look at 1 Peter 4:11. First Peter 4:11 says, if anybody speaks, that's anybody, you, me, anybody. If anybody speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what does Peter say here? If anybody speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And let those who teach do so in accordance with the word. Let those who preach do so in accordance with the word of God. There's too many people that want to teach their own thoughts. There's too many people who want to preach their own opinions. There's too many people who'd rather do that than to speak the word of God. Otherwise, and I'll ask the question, how would we have so much religious division throughout the world if people were not preaching and teaching things other than what God wanted them to? I'm thankful for this congregation. And Michael said it before, and so is Bruce, and others in this pulpit. We have a good group of men in this congregation that are not afraid to preach the truth. And we're not afraid to stand accountable if we say something that's not right. That's what this is all about. Speak where the Bible speaks. This is an old Church of Christ saying, and it'll be there forever. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible's silent. Don't try to put stuff in there that's not there. If we stick to that, all speaking the same thing, a lot of the problems will go away. Now back to this verse 10 again. Paul says, I plead with you that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So now we're seeing not only speaking the same thing, but have the same mind. Those of the same mind will be more likely to speak the same thing. We've all got the same thoughts. Becomes very obvious we're all going to say the same thing when it comes to God's word. The same mind that we should have is the mind of Christ. We look at Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Chapter 2, 1 through 5. He said, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by what? Being like-minded, having the same love. That's the love of Jesus. That's the love of the Word. Being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Having the same mind, it results in consolation. It results in comfort. It results in a fellowship that we can be proud to have with one another. Results of affection and mercy. It requires lowliness of mind, thinking highly of others, concern for others. And all that as we develop the mind of Christ. And the more we develop that mind of Christ, the more likely we will be of one mind. And then lastly, I want to talk about having the same judgment. Back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It's stressed in this verse, I plead with you by the name of our Lord Jesus that we all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If you look at this one verse and tend to that, you'll find that you won't have divisions. Where we have the same knowledge, we have the same process of reasoning. We'll all reason out the same thing. That leads us to the same conclusions on various issues. Again, there's a lot of things that cause divisions. And there's things in the Bible to me are very clear, but people want to be making problems. And I see no reason for that. Paul sees no reason for that. Jesus sees no reason for that. There's much religious division as the result of different standards of authority. Who's going to be the authority person? Is it going to be some man's and his opinion, or is it going to be Jesus and what he has written? We got people that will appeal to majority rule. Raise your hand if you think that's right. It may or may not be right. All we have to do is figure out what God says and make that be what's right. We have traditions of men that we have to deal with. We have personal feelings that we have to deal with. That's probably the harder part of this. A lot of people wear their feelings on their shirt sleeve. There are people, I believe, that are actually looking for a reason to leave, and they'll pick on anything and say, I'm out of here. And then all of a sudden, they start spreading things around, and you're three or four or five more couples are going with them. That's how division starts. It can be so simple and so easy that you don't even realize what's going on. Christians in the New Testament were expected to abide in Paul and the apostles' doctrine, as was taught in every church. And I'll go to Corinthians 14, verse 37, just to give you an example of what Paul's talking about. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are commandments of the Lord. The things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. The things I have taught you, the things I have preached to you are the commandments of the Lord. That's what he preached in every church. That's what we try to preach every time somebody's in this pulpit. We want to be right with God's word. When we have different conclusions being drawn, someone, somehow, is not submitting to the mind of Christ as revealed through his apostles. In conclusion, we shouldn't be surprised when people do not speak the same thing. We shouldn't be surprised when people do not have the same mind. We shouldn't be surprised when people don't have the same judgment. Those things are going to happen. Don't let it surprise you. Don't let it take you off guard. We should expect that it will require time for people to develop the mind of Christ. As I teach and as I preach, we're all a work in progress. We all have room to improve in our mind of Christ. We should expect that it will require patience and love to give each other time to grow. Somebody might become real simple to them and say, how come you can't understand this? Well, I just can't grasp it yet. We got to have patience with that. But wherever the problem of religious division exists, we should not rest content. It has to be addressed. And with the same power of Paul's words and the same power of Jesus' words, we should strive to overcome it. Division is a problem. Division is, I don't want to call it a way of life necessarily, but in the world, they accept it, and it is a way of life. It doesn't matter what denominational name you want to put on the building, just attend the church of your choice. We've heard that over and over and over through television, through radio, through personal contact with fellow workers, even family. We have to be aware that division can creep into a congregation really quick, really fast, and really slick. Being a witness of the Boston Crossroads movement and what happened to the church up there in Nebraska, it was so smooth and so quick you didn't even know what happened. And we have to be aware of that. The lesson's yours. If there be anybody here that needs to put their Lord on in baptism, if they need to get their head wrapped around what Jesus is trying to say to them and need to say, I accept, now would be the time to do that. On the other side, if anybody's got any issues in their life that they're having to deal with and having some issues with that, we can see in the last couple of weeks prayers of this congregation work. So if you've got any kind of an issue, let it be made known. We'll pray for you and help you. Thank you.